Hello and welcome to this episode of the 21cc podcast, brought to you by the Chartered Institute of Building. I'm Nadine Badu, editor of CM People.
And I'm Justin Stanton, editor of CM Digital.
For our last episode of the year, we're discussing some of the biggest issues that are likely to shape the construction industry in 2026. We'll also hear from two contractors about their biggest takeaways from the last 12 months and the challenges and opportunities that are high on the agenda for them as they move into the new year. So let's begin with the skills crisis. This is a topic that never seems to go away. The industry has been talking about acute recruitment and retention issues for more than a decade, and 2025 has been no different. Now, according to CITB's Construction Workforce Outlook report, the industry will need to recruit the equivalent of roughly 240,000 additional workers by 2029. That is a massive challenge, which highlights how crucial training and retention will be over the next 4 years. In response, CITB launched its strategic plan for 2025 to 2029 and its business plan for 2025-2026 earlier this year. The focus has been on bringing more people into the industry, improving the quality and accessibility of training, as well as helping employers retain skilled staff. But not all of the changes and proposals from CITB have been smooth. Next year, the Skills Board plans to make a series of changes to funding and grants for employers. Some firms have criticised the changes, with even CITB's chief executive, Tim Balkin, acknowledging that it is, quote, short notice for some of the changes. However, he added, quote, this was done to avoid surge claiming that will put our ability to support employers at risk. Now, some of the funding and grant changes will come into effect from the 8th of January 2026. These include removal of the short course training grant, with the employer networks as the main replacement funding route and a small number of courses to still be grant funded. The scope of what is funded by employer networks is also changing, as well as reduction of the rate to 50% match funding. Funding for level 7 qualifications and the attendance grant from long qualifications will be stopped, and all non-apprentice achievement grants will be capped at £600. Now, as well as those changes, from the 1st of April 2026, large employers will be moved to a single large employer funding offer, and they will no longer be able to access employer networks. But speaking of challenges facing the construction workforce, it is not just about skills. Safety is another area where the industry is under intense scrutiny, which brings us to the Building Safety Regulator. The BSR, established after the Grenfell Tower tragedy, is one of the most consequential reforms of recent years.
Indeed, Nadine, its remit to oversee higher risk buildings through multiple gateways was designed to ensure safety from design through to occupation. But practical experience in 2025 has revealed significant delays and bottlenecks.
Yep, that's right. A recent report from a cross-party House of Lords committee noted that applications to the BSR are often taking longer than statutory targets, highlighting, quote, consistent and repeated complaints that the BSR could take more than 9 months to make decisions on whether construction projects should be allowed to go ahead. Significantly longer than the statutory target of 12 weeks for these decisions. This continues to be a major concern for the industry. According to the report, the delays to applications for existing buildings are leaving residents in unsafe homes and increasing costs for leaseholders, while the impact on applications for new buildings could slow progress towards the government's 1.5 million homes target. So, while regulatory delays impact project timelines and workflow, another factor affecting construction businesses day to day is cash flow. Specifically, late payments and retentions. This has been a hot topic in 2025 and one the government plans to address in January 2026. So, Justin, what do we know so far?
The government is expected to publish its response to the consultation on late payments in construction in the new year. This consultation targets long-standing pain points for contractors, particularly SMEs, covering extended payment terms, unresolved disputes, and the withholding of retentions. According to figures shared by CIB, late payments cost the UK economy almost £11 billion each year, with an estimated 38 businesses closing every day as a result of not being paid on time. What's interesting is that the proposals include fundamental questions about the role of retentions, from the introduction of protection schemes to even the possibility of banning cash retentions entirely. Come January, we'll be watching closely for the government's formal response. I'm sure many construction firms remain hopeful these reforms could significantly improve cash flow and reduce insolvency risk across the supply chain.
So, Justin, what's happening on your beat?
There's a lot happening in information management and digital construction next year. The CIOB Innovation and Digital Advisory Panel will launch the Digital Program Management Office Playbook. A few months ago, the panel's vice chair, Stefan Mordew, told me that the playbook is designed to be a practical guide to show how digital approaches to program and project management can add value. It'll have six core themes: productivity and quality, sustainability and circularity, safety and compliance, people and upskilling, information management and standardization, and case studies and practical tools. It will link to other resources such as the CIOB client guide and the AI playbook. Possibly the biggest thing to happen in digital construction since the launch of the 19650 standard for information management 7 years ago is the review of the very first parts of the 19650 suite. That review is ongoing with revisions to part one, concepts and principles, part two, design and construction, and part three, operation and maintenance, expected next year. The main detail grabbing everyone's attention is that parts two and three are going to be combined. There will be a public consultation on the revisions, so let's have no bleating from the sidelines. Have your say during the consultation. If you're interested in smart buildings, look out for the publication of version 2.0 of the REBA overlay for smart buildings. It's being revised to take account of the need for smart retrofits, not just smart new buildings. Sticking with smart buildings, we can expect increasing debate around asset information handovers, with an independent playbook likely to be published.
And what about MMC and industrialised construction?
In January, we will get the next update from the National Infrastructure and Service Transformation Authority, NISTA for short, when NISTA Construction Director and Infrastructure Practice Lead Dr. David Hancock spoke at the NEMA conference last month. He noted the importance of MMC and industrialised construction to the delivery of the government's targets and information's role in supporting that. Will we see more public sector clients committing to repeatable designs to enable industrialised construction? Even if they do, is there enough capacity to meet demand? Only last month, off-site construction specialist Merit went into administration. Meanwhile, we should start to see some progress towards digital product passports. And yes, there'll be an ever-increasing wave of AI-powered apps coming our way with the promise of a more productive industry. And talking of tech, if the mooted acquisition by Acom of a Norwegian AI startup for $390 million becomes a reality, expect some intriguing M&A activity as major international contractors and consultants start to take a direct interest in the technology shaping the industry. It won't just be the established contact behemoths picking off the startups.
Well, it's fair to say that 2025 has been a big year for construction. These challenges and opportunities, from reforms to the skills system and safety oversight to the rise of AI and the increasing importance of MMC, really paint a picture of an industry in transition.
And in 2026, we expect a lot of these issues to move from discussion to implementation. We'll keep you updated as government responses land and industry reforms take shape.
Absolutely. Right. Before we sign off for this episode, we asked some construction leaders to share their view of the biggest shifts they've seen on job sites this year and any challenges that have surprised them. We also asked them to reveal any opportunities or trends that construction teams should be preparing for in 2026. First up is Pete McKinley, Commercial Director for Seddon Property Services.
The biggest three shifts that we've seen this year across our sites generally been regarding the two-stage tendering procurement route, recruitment, and our clarity around our net zero carbon commitments. So whilst I'll pick up on two-stage tendering at this point, I'll go into it in a bit more detail, because that's probably been the biggest change and what surprised us throughout the year. So I'll only quickly touch on this. There has been a significant change in procurement routes from single-stage procurement into a two-stage procurement route. This seems to be this client-led decision. It has affected our pipeline across the industry, and it is affecting the workload of our supply chain. So I'll pick up on this shortly. However, recruitment, this has been difficult this year. There's an extreme shortage of staff out on the market at the moment. We're working closely with a number of our supply chain, of our recruitment supply chain, and they're even struggling to find the correct people for us. There are significant shortages within different sectors of the industry. Estimators are extremely difficult to find at the moment, for one to mention. I think there is also an emphasis on staff retention, which has been seen across the industry, whether that is an increase in salaries or better terms and conditions for people. This is the way to be seen, really. With regards our requirement for the clarity around net zero carbon commitments, we've now taken the decision at Seddon to introduce a team of net zero carbon heroes who sit and are looking at our route to the net zero. This is led by our building services manager, Jake Dowling, who's also led our approach to PAS 2038 and are achieving this accreditation. With this, we're supporting clients to attain PSDS funding, and this is across the industry that people require the PSDS funding to undertake carbon reduction processes on their buildings. Using our technology, we're using a digital twin model, robust cost assessments and delivery programs to assess the conditions of buildings and the services. Along with other commitments, what we're required to understand the information that we've got, we've obviously had to take on a sustainability analyst who is reviewing all the information that we're seeing coming back from the digital twin modelling and the robust cost assessments. With regard to the surprise that we've had this year, and what lessons that we can take out of this, we've realised that the change to the procurement routes from a single stage to a two stage has been significant to our work winning and the industry's work winning and getting projects over the line and actually to site. This is obviously dictated by clients. This is a way forward. It obviously, depending on which side of the fence you sit on, it's probably a good model to actually deliver your tenders. Two-stage tendering does take a lot of time to actually get the projects to site. Some clients still want to pursue single-stage design and build and procurement route, which is a race to the bottom, is not a good route for contractors to take, although some contractors are still adamant that they will pursue this type of procurement. What we are finding with the two-stage tendering is there is unrealistic timeframes within the tender process. Cost plans are unrealistic, and we're getting unrealistic timeframes imposed on us to impact the completion of the REBA stages. What we're also finding is when we're given REBA stage design information, e.g. REBA stage 3, the actual REBA information that we're receiving is not a REBA stage 3, and therefore we're having to take expense to actually review the stage 3 information that we've got and then go back and reassess the stage 3 and redevelop it. There are numerous errors, omissions in the design information. We quite often, as an industry, we are now getting design teams appointed by the client. They're not novated or they're kept by the client. However, we're requested to accept responsibility for the design team to whichever stage we're issued with the information, although we do not get a sight of the designer's appointments. This is a design dump. This isn't acceptable. This also gives serious demand on our supply chain. We're having to demonstrate value for money, getting a minimum of 3 quotations in a restricted time period with a supply chain who is extremely busy trying to deliver works elsewhere, and a supply chain that's obviously working for other people on site and trying to maintain their pipeline and get a better understanding of their workload so it doesn't delay or impact their works. We also find that client contract amendments are becoming more onerous. Many of these aren't received until late in the process, can be 50 pages long, so nearly as long as the contract themselves. And when we review them and request reviews, we're being told that we're being too contractual. In addition to this, the two-stage tendering process has brought ever-increasing requirements for social value commitments. These often there is no visibility around our social value commitments and the outcomes, especially within the bid, although often the frameworks are asking us and reporting on our CSR commitments. However, where we do follow through on our commitments, we're unsure whether other people do, whether this is an actual KPI, which should be monitored better. The time and effort to get these projects to site is difficult. It's difficult for predicting staff allocations, and it's difficult for attaining business plan and visibility on turnover. Numerous projects are delayed and moved back from several weeks to months. We've had some tenders which have moved back 2 years when they were priced on a PCSA for 13 weeks, and it's taken 2 years to get to site after numerous value engineering exercises to attain a tight budget. Looking ahead to 2026 and what opportunities and trends that we should be looking at within the construction industry, I think that the construction industry and the teams within it should be preparing and for the development of the AI of AI within its operational and administrative functions. It's fast-paced, developing and around us, and if we don't embrace it, then we will be left behind. There's a lot of construction tech out there, and we have to be embracing it now. And within Seddons, we're looking at the tech, and we're developing the tech. We're within our survey teams, the plant and machinery that we're looking at. This is also across the board, and especially we have it within security. We have it across our BIM development, our design. These are all obviously really heavy tech orientated elements of the industry. There's numerous examples of technology in the construction, and there's numerous other things out there like robotic bricklayers. Will they ever come to site? We'll see. Can they develop it so they can get up a scaffold and actually deliver this? We'll see. These have been around for a number of years. From this, we could work over our own narrative and to find out what's plausible to deliver. We're currently viewing AI within our business. I've had a conversation with our IT department regarding the introduction of an AI expert who can chaperone all our departments to assist in developing the AI offering that we have. I only know what I know, and I can't tell people what they should be doing with AI, so we'll see where this goes. In terms of the industry, we need to be focusing on the quality tech, any tech that drives efficiencies. Automating keystrokes, repetition, and whatever leaves humans to do the decision-making and the expertise rather than being keyboard warriors. What we've got to ensure that our teams understand is that AI is rising, but the skill shortages remain, so we need to make people more efficient. AI boosts efficiency. It doesn't take the humans out of the loop. We also need humans to be part of this process. People shouldn't be scared of this. It's a development. It's the new industrial revolution. We need to be developing it, and we need to be working with it. Cross-generational training is vital. We need to bring everybody along with this. This can't be just the youth. It can't be just the younger members of our teams. This has to be across the board. And people shouldn't be afraid of it. Digital leadership strengthens the implementation. So we have to have leaders. We have to have guidance. We have to have people who are happy to develop this within the industry. The industry needs to embrace it. And the construction can set the standard for the ethical AI. Make sure that it works for us. Make sure that it is ethical. And the future depends on our people within the industry and not just this tech.
Great. Thanks, Pete. Now, let's hear from Ryan O'Loughlin, Regional Director at Henry Boot Construction.
One of the biggest shifts we've seen this year is the increased availability of new technology, particularly around the artificial intelligence space. Within Henry Boot, we embrace digital innovation, but it is about making intelligent choices that are going to be fit for the future. Concurrent with this, we've also got the challenge of integrating the new digital skills that are going to be required for effective deployment of these tools. Yeah, I'm not sure anything in construction surprises me these days, but if I was pushed, it's probably the continued ability of the people in our industry to adapt to evolving market conditions. This year, we've dealt with declining PMI, Building Safety Act, Procurement Act, evolving technologies, and the budget, to name a few. And despite these, the industry continues to take these challenges in its stride and keep pushing forward. Looking ahead to 2026, one trend we are seeing is the increased demand for early contractor involvement in projects, partly driven by Building Safety Act. Clients are seeing the benefits of early engagement through designs, budgeting, programming sustainability, while contractors are benefiting from greater project collaboration and increased visibility of turnover.
A huge thanks to Pete and Ryan for sharing their insights.
And that's all from us for this episode, and indeed for 2025. Thanks to everyone who contributed to the podcast this year, and thank you, the audience, for listening. We'll be back in the new year.
If you would like to share your feedback on the podcast, you can email us at 21cc@atompublishing.co.uk. And if you're on social media, please use the hashtag 21cc to let us know what you think. That's all from me today. Thanks for listening.